Alrighty, welcome along to It's a Monday Night. We're going early this week for the WGC match play predictions for our DraftKings Fantasy League. We'll give it a couple of seconds for people to join in. When you get in, say hi. If you're coming on live, say hi. If you're listening to this later on, just know that you've missed the live and can join it. But I often don't give you much time to find out when or where we will be going live. Always in the group, always on the Facebook page, and now on the YouTube channel as well. We figured out a few things here. So we now know that we can see comments and I can share them with Ben and Tim as we go through. So if you are listening live, comment away. Let us know who you're picking as we go through. And any abuse or no, not abuse, that would be wrong, banter that you'd like to give Timbo and Ben for their performances this week as we go through, it would be greatly appreciated.
One good week,
and I'll live off it for precisely another 48 hours. And
that's the thing. I think I'll allow you it because I think even our good weeks we've got kind of come nowhere near first. So I think you need a pat on the back for that one. The gap was substantial between you and us this week.
Well, let's talk about this week. Let's dive in. Let's do a quick review of the Honda Classic. Timbo, was this one of the weeks that you said you were supremely confident in your team?
Yeah, I'm very mindful that I've said something like 4 out of the 5 weeks we've done this. So I'm really confident about my team this week. And I was, and it just turns out I was talking absolute toilet because my lot, absolutely useless this weekend. It was pretty much game over for me by the end of Friday.
Well, let's just think about this, right? So the week before, all three of us had 3 missed cuts. Half of our team had not made the cut. And we all thought that was fairly shoddy.
Yeah.
This week, how many players did you have missed the cut, Tim?
4. There was a moment on...
Next question. When did you stop paying attention to the golf this week?
Pretty much on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
No, it was a weird one because I can't remember what point it was. There was a point set up on Thursday, early evening our time. And I sent a message to all the boys saying, right, because at that time we were between us. I think we had a second place, a fifth place and an eighth place. I was like, here we go. We're back. Obviously, at that time, I only had 3 players who'd actually been out on the course.
Yeah. And it was Thursday at like 4 p.m., wasn't it? We were like, we're looking good.
And then it just an absolute cluster developed. Doug Gim, who I gave the biggest big up to this time last week, proceeded to go 2 over first round, 3 over second round, and just never got going. I didn't really have any standout performances across the entire week. As good as it got for me was Shane Lowry going 4 under on both of his first 2 days, which he probably then went and he went 7 under for his first 2 days, which he probably then went completely undid on his final 2 rounds when he went 8 over. So,
There was a lot of that happening. Like I said to you guys off air, JB Holmes was in the final pairing, 6 or 7 under, playing with Matt Jones. He shot, I think, 8 over on his final round, ended up on +2. I mean, and there were scores like that all weekend. There was like one day a player would hit 4 under, next day he was 4 over. Like it was that kind of a weekend, wasn't it? It was brutal.
Where is it being held in? Texas.
Which one? Sorry, the one that just got on the Honda Classics, Florida.
Florida. I suppose good night out on Florida on Friday night.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a way to go somewhere for sure. Florida aren't doing. They're not doing coronavirus lockdown rules or anything like that. Go wherever. Poor week from Timbo, finishing in 29th. Ben. How did you get on?
Well, not much to talk about. There's much of an improvement on Tim. I finished in 27th. I beat my brother and Tim, so that's something. I mean, but that's really clutching at straws. 256.5 points. So I was thinking about this earlier on, wrote a couple of notes down. I thought, lesson from the week is this, research did more research for last week than at any other point because I didn't know many players in the field. So I was like, right, we'll get some notes down on these players. Research can go one of two ways. Sometimes does you a massive favour, i.e. Chris Wright. Sometimes it don't do shit. Me, because I was awful. Although, having said that, the one positive that I can pull out of last week's team was the bit of research that I did on my basement pick. He actually did outstandingly well. So I picked Chase Seifert just to balance out the books. Phenomenal pick, just like Matt Jones.
Yeah.
Not quite, but yeah.
He was six under by the end?
$6,200, one of the cheapest players for the week. He came in a tie for third.
Yeah,
so
well done him.
And he was quite lucky to be in my team when Berger pulled out, because then I was... So Berger withdrew day before. Funny side story with that, I'm a member of two leagues. I picked the same team in both leagues. Obviously, the Sunday Reg League immediately updated it. Lovely, la la la. I'm all set. Forgot to do it in the other league. So brilliant. So I knew that I was playing for not last place in that one.
How many people did you have missed the cut?
Four players missed the cut. Two made the cut. Wacky Neiman wasn't even pulling up trees. So
wait. In your other league, was it the same team? So therefore, did you have five people not playing this weekend?
No, I did have two make it to the weekend. And that was Neiman and Chase Seifert. Okay. So in Sunday Red League, I picked Lee Westwood, which turns out was a waste of time because it was not Lee's best week after a few
that
good
was
weeks.
Always going to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was thinking it as was hover over it. I was like, no, he's had a great few weeks. But then you hear he'd played Augusta both Monday and Tuesday, and he's played phenomenally well and played a lot of golf recently. I thought, that's probably not a good pick. And also, considering he was the direct replacement for Daniel Berger, should have gone with Song Jae-im.
Yeah. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, though, right?
Yeah. Brilliant.
By the way, if anyone's listening and you had some unexpected picks, people that came through, played well this weekend, can you let us know? Because I kind of like using this as a way to get me some prepping for future weeks. Like, who have I know that's played well? Who have I know that's played well? So if you had someone in your team that played well, can you just leave them in the comments and let us know who that was? That would be awesome. We'll do a quick review of my week. Buddy won, didn't I, lads? So
you can do a big review of your week if you want, Chris. It's fine.
Yeah.
Spends 5 weeks, or okay, probably more, in the relegation zone, bottom five, and then out of nowhere comes out with a win. So can't say I'm going to live with you. I'm probably as shocked as anybody else. My strategy of when we're talking about doing research and picking, you know, what was the line that it said, Ben? It was like, people who played well at event X, which was the Sony Open in Hawaii, tend to play well here. Literally, I just went through and picked anyone who finished in the top 10 that event, and it happened that I could fill my team with that. Matt Jones. To be fair, Matt Jones has been on my team a couple of times as a cup maker, and he's always there or thereabouts. But on day one, I was like, don't fuck this up. So I was like, this is your halftime team talk. Don't ruin this. Like, you have put yourself in a great position. But my word, guy, just 9 under on day one, 9 birdies in a round of golf. I mean, that is just no bogeys. Oh, just the dream.
Yeah, equaling the course records, not a bad way to start the week.
Yeah.
Oh, just wonderful. But and to be honest with you, he absolutely carried the team through to the weekend. But because the guy that we all had, Kaziah, didn't make it. He went +1, +2, so missed out. So I had Neiman go through, Chris Kirk go through, who seemed to play really well. Steele, who started off on +3 on day one, then went 5 under on day two, +1, 1 over on day three, and then 5 under on day four. So bit of a random 4 days of golf for him. And then Matt Jones, the winner. Turns out it really helps when you have the winner on your team, doesn't it? Yeah. 119.5 points just for him. 1, 2, 3, 4 players in the top 25. So, yeah, delighted with that. That's really hoping that I can just bring some semblance of that at any future week would be lovely.
Yeah, I mean, I hate losing to you at the best of times, but I think if you go on and romp it and you win the whole competition, then I've got to give you a pat on the back for that one. So, well done, mate.
What I was really excited about was in the free league, included Neiman and Jones, so were the two players. All four other players were different. bloody won that one too, didn't I?
So. Yeah, so I think that's a very dangerous tactic playing different teams. I think because if you have a stormer of a league in one league, like the free league, say, and then the money league, you pick a different team, and that team goes off crap, I would be devastated.
Yeah. Day two, the free league team were like 40 points ahead of my paid league team. And I was like, oh no. And I was second at the time in the paid league. And I was like, what have I done? This was such an error. I shouldn't have done this. I'm regretting this already. But then two players missed the cut in my free league team. So I was like, okay, maybe. And it just about came through that the paid team beat the free one. So yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. Obviously loving getting my three, finally getting 3 points on the board between the three. It's been 5 weeks of nothingness. So the scores on the doors now are me on 5, Timbo on 5, Ben romping ahead on 11 points with 3 wins out of 5 weeks is really strong, Paulus. Yeah. So moving on to this week. I'm going to level with you. In the past, I've not paid a lot of attention to this match play event. Now, I couldn't be more excited about it. I'm absolutely loving the sound of it. So, for those who like me are a bit new to this event, WGC Match Play, it's a new or it's a sort of a standalone format. If you like, I don't think they've played many, if any, other Match Play events on the PGA Tour. But essentially, you've got the top 64 players this week. We're not having Tiger Woods, Gary Woodland, Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, and Adam Scott. Taking their place, people will love this. Taking their place, Ian Poulter stepping up, getting in. Van Rooyen coming in, Adam Long Poston. Not sure anything, I know enough about Poston to mention anything about that. And Dylan Fratelli as well coming in. So those are the four players that get moved up. But 64 players, it's group stage, starts on Wednesday. Group stage, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They play one round each day, match play, 1v1. Then they go through to a knockout round, a final 16. I think that must be right. Final 16 on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. They play final 8, semis, final Sunday. So there's a lot of golf to be played this weekend. It's at Austin Country Club, which Tim knows as the one with the bridge. And he is absolutely right. It has a big bridge in the background on one of the holes.
Love a big bridge. Love a big bridge on the golf course. It's just good to look at. It's so, like when you play next to wind turbines, just something cool about it.
Something different. In the Facebook group, I have put the groupings. So if you are in the Sunday Red Facebook group, I have put the groupings. I'm wondering, this might be risky. I'm wondering if I can show them on here now. I'll figure that out in a minute, if I can do that while one of the others talks. But let's go through. Let's talk team selection, talk about how we've picked, who we've picked. And why we picked the players. Ben, I'm going to come to you first. Have I missed anything? Is there anything else you want to know about the event? Anything else you want to know about the course?
No, I think you've got it. So I kind of probably, by the sounds of it, kind of read the same article, because that would have been the same information that I would have put out. You know, for us, I'm very much a case of, right, tournament ends Sunday. Let's prep for the next one on the Monday. So to try and get my head around what this tournament was, how to pick the team, and then make those picks in time to get on here, it was a little bit rushed, but I can pretty confident with it. So I did go through kind of all the pools, and I was like, right, who's likely to win from each one? Can I factor those in? So there was a lot of moving things around, and right, let's look at like pool 12, I think, for example, be the 12th ranked player in the world versus, you know, people that are a lot closer to them. With only one person going through, you only want to pick one player from each pool. So, again, going from top to bottom, I went John Rahm at 10,700. So he was a runner-up in 2017, and I just like him for this week. I've not picked him yet. I thought he was going to have a major drop-off moving into Callaway's, just change of clubs like some players do, but he's been pretty good. And for me, it was either him or DJ. And surprisingly, DJ's been a bit cold recently, although he did win it in 2017. But yeah. I think on recent form...
Against Rahm.
Yeah. I was just on recent form. I've not seen a lot from DJ, which is surprising. So went with Rahm because he's not been in the team yet. And I do like John Rahm. Number two is my kind of perennial pick, Tony Finau, 9,200. I feel like his game is just set up for match play. When it's bad, he'll only lose one hole. But when it's good, he's very difficult to keep up with. Yeah. You know, he is going to be shooting eagles and birdies for fun. That's what he does. So I'm hoping he just gets through the first round and then we'll see where we take it from there. My third price pick, someone that we've spoken about quite a bit of being a great DraftKings pick, and that was Cameron Smith. His bracket is McIlroy, Lanto, Griffin, and Poulter. I actually fancy Smith to beat all of them. So
I
owned an all about Cam Smith, and Rory is the only one that worries me, but I still think even if he didn't get through, he could pick up a lot of points against the others.
I just you watch Cameron Smith's game recently, you know, doesn't set the world alight, but he doesn't have any holes. He just seems to get around and do it. And I think with Rory's form, a couple of the comments he's made recently, you know, he has been playing pretty well. You know, look at his top 20s, top 10s. He's been playing pretty well. But then the last tournament he spoke about kind of overplaying and a couple of negative things coming out of Rory's mouth, which kind of made me feel that his head's in a different place. So I was like, right, this is a good time to get Smith in there. Up next, 7,600, Kevin Kisner.
Loves
a match play scenario. So finally,
it's a tough group though.
Yeah, he is in the group. Group. Yeah. That's right. For those listening, Kisner is in group two, which also has Justin Thomas, Matt Kuchar. Who has Matt Kuchar won it here?
He has.
He was runner up. He was runner up in 2019. Louis Oosthuizen, who loves it here, also was runner up in 2016. And Kevin Kisner, like that is like the group of death. That is horrendous.
So just to jump in, I was all in for picking Kisner this week.
Yeah.
Until I saw his group.
Yeah. Like, same. Like,
yeah. I did think that, because particularly when I saw JT, you know, he's fresh off of a win. But I just would light sod it. He won it in 2019. You know, that was the last time they won it because they didn't run the tournament last year.
Yeah,
And then he was the finalist in 2018. So clearly, five rounds is not an issue for him.
Cool.
Let's just hope, you know, he picks up. But like you said, the worry was, I did see that pool and was like, that is a risky pick.
It's a tough pick, sure.
Next up, he's in a tough group. But I couldn't believe the price. So I went with Max Homer, 7,400. Mm. Couldn't believe he was that cheap. You know, he beat Tony Finau in a playoff after hitting a shocking tee shot at Riviera. Yeah. So he showed he's got the match play noggin because he fought back, won it, but, you know, sunk a big putt. So, yeah, got Max Homer in there. And then finally, just to balance out the books, someone who, this is a value pick based on who he was playing against, and I went with Victor Perez, 6,600. So for the price, I like his bracket. You know, yes, Sungjae Im, big fan of his. There's Sungjae Im, Mark Leishman, Russell Henley. He's against Leishman round one, so I fancy that. So I started to look down who they've got in round one as well, and then was like, if they get off to a good start, then confidence grows. If they get spanked, well, then write them off. So Rahm, Finau, Smith, Kisner, Homer, and Perez for me.
Nice. I like it. Also, something to note there, none of them playing against each other, which I feel like in the first group stage, which I feel like lots of people might make an error with, especially if they haven't listened to this. You don't want people playing against each other in group stages, players knocking off points off other people. So with that in mind, Timbo, who have you got? Are you playing against each other?
I'm not confident this week. Just to kick things off. But I think similar to what Ben says, I think in this format, there's no way you can not have at least one danger pick that you just look at and be like, oh god, not sure about that. So I think it's kind of like trying to minimize your losses in that one. So my danger pick, if you like, was is Jason Kokrak. I think he's been in brilliant form. You know, he's had four top tens this season. His form has been outstanding. But he is still the one that I'm most nervous about, because he's in with Finau, Zalatoris, and Vitelli. So that's a really, really tough
strong.
But we have seen that Finau, you know, it was only a couple of weeks ago, just massively off the boil. Zalatoris has played a hell of a lot of golf, a lot of good golf. At some point, you just feel there might just be the gas might run out a little bit.
Nah. We'll see. And we've not seen him in match play as well.
So yeah, exactly. There's a big question at college. They love a bit of match play, I reckon. And
you've got Zalatoris in his side.
He's obviously got Zalatoris in his side. But so Kokrak's my danger pick for the week. Okay. We'll see how that one goes. But otherwise, yeah, I looked a bit at form, but then a lot of it was just based on gut instinct, looking at the pools and the sequence of matches. So my first pick was actually Sun Jae-im, because I'm really confident about the group he's in. He plays Russell Henley first. He's winning that all day. He plays Vix Perez after that. I think he's beating Vix Perez at the moment. I think his form is better. I think the one player in his group that I would have as a bit of a red flag would be Leishman, but I think he's already got his two other matches out of the way by that point. So I like his run of matches.
Okay.
So Sanjay's in there. Bryson, love him or hate him, he will be there at the end of the weekend. Yeah. He will be. It's the first time I've picked him this season. So
I really hope he's out first round, just so I can take this little clip of the audio and just play this back next week. That'll be great.
So that's the thing with Bryson. He can combust, but his group, for those who do, he's got Tommy Fleetwood, Siwoo Kim and Rosner. And Fleetwood's, I don't know, he's been okay recently, but he's not really been at it. So I quite like that pick, to be honest.
I think. I looked down, because he's actually like, he's 10.9 for this week, which doesn't make him one of the super, super, super expensive ones. He's not up with like a DJ or a JT, so he's not a bad pick.
Well, I just don't remember Bryson in match play. I just can't think of him in a match play scenario.
Can't remember.
It'll be interesting. Like 1v1. I'm interested to see how it goes.
I think it always comes down to if he can kick the ball on the golf course. I think if he does, he'll win it. He will get through that group quite comfortably. Just how far offline he's going to be.
One thing that I read earlier was it. This is not quite clearly based on the previous winners, Kisner, Kucher. Who else do we have? It's not Gary Woodland. It's not reliant on being able to smash the ball miles. So I think literally anyone can win this. This is not just a big hitter's game, but if Bryson comes in and goes, let's be sensible about this, actually doesn't just boom the ball off miles, offline. I think he has, he was quite sensible, off the tee in that, and made good decisions. I think Bryson will be there.
Plus there are three or maybe four par fours of 400 that are under 400 yards.
Yeah.
So distance will help with that. I would say potentially unexpected competition that he played at the weekend, another guy's been bang on form, Lee Westwood. Excellently priced. Yeah, I've put him in. He's 7.7. He's a great value pick for this week. I think he's been great form. I think, honestly, last weekend would have been one of those which is kind of like...
That is a mighty competitive group. He's against Tyrrell Hatton, Sergio Garcia, and Matt Wallace. That would be great to watch.
It's competitive, though, because we gave Tyrrell all the kind of the compliments in the world about a month ago after he was picking up titles in the Middle East. He's not been anywhere since.
Yeah, I wouldn't fancy myself against him. I wouldn't fancy anyone against him in match play.
I just think it's the European feel for it. And if you've got Sergio in there, I think he's always going to be fired up. I think that's a competitive group.
I saw that group and I thought, not having that group.
I think of those four players right now, Hatton, Sergio, Matt Wallace, Westwood is the clear standout for me, who I would back to go 4 or 5 days of just playing solid consecutive golf. So I've gone in there. But you're also right. That is probably that along with Rory's group are going to be the kind of the flair. That's the football you would want to be going around with, I think. If you could choose.
It's not in a match play scenario.
You've had 1 week and you're going all Bertie big ones.
Can't wait to bring him down this
behind you in our league.
I'm going to absolutely tear your team to pieces very shortly. Then after that, I kind of went, if you like, for people that were kind of like second placed in their groups, but who I quite fancy to topple the top dogs in their groups. So I think it's really interesting that Ben went with John Rahm, because Shane Lowry's in his group. And I know he didn't play great on his final two rounds at the weekend. But again, if you look at how he's been going for the last sort of 4 or 5 competitions, he's just building really, really steadily. He's just a solid player. of the kind of second place players he's playing against the big gun, that's the one. That's the one fixture where I think I might back Lowry over Rahm on that one. But I could be wrong. But that's just the one where I just really fancy the one of the big guns potentially getting toppled. And the final pick, I've just got a bit of this is pure gut feel. Scottie Scheffler was one of my ones to watch this season. He's in the same group as Schauffele, who's been a bit quiet, hasn't done loads recently.
I'm surprised by that.
He's Jay Day and Andy Sullivan. Boy.
Yeah. What I'm really excited about already is the fact that all three of us have, and I'll share my team in a second, obviously, but we have players that will be playing against each other in the first 3 days. that gets me quite excited. Just the concept of knowing as 18 holes, I'm watching right now, and it'll feel like I'm against Ben, or it'll feel like I'm against Tim. That is really good. I like that. Okay, great. Let's dive into my team. So I've got, first up, I was like, who's my big pick? Who do I back? I've gone with John Rahm. I just love John Rahm in a match play scenario. I like his group. He's got Sebastian Munoz, Ryan Palmer, Shane Lowry. I know Tim. Is Tim frozen? Tim's definitely frozen. He'll join us back in a minute.
Is that shocked?
Do you want to screenshot that? Because that's an excellent position to stop that. he says, Wi-Fi's having a moment. He'll be back in a second. So, yeah, I've gone John Rahm. He's his group, what I just said, Sebastian Munoz, Ryan Palmer, Shane Lowry. Although Tim back Shane Lowry, I just don't. For me, John Rahm's getting through that group.
I can't see it. As good as Lowry's been, Rahm's just too good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And my kind of what I've tried to do as much as possible, looking at the groupings, is the players that I've backed, I don't want them meeting until as late as possible in the event. You know what I mean? So I've gone, I don't really want to have players meeting each other in the next round in like the final 16. So I've kind of tried to space them out, which will probably come back and bite me in the ass because I've like just pick players. But I've tried to, so I was like, basically, if they meet, they won't meet until like the final 8. So it gives them an extra round of golf if they get through. So John Rahm at number one. Second up is Paul Casey, who has just been on fire recently, loving birdies, getting the odd eagle here.
I considered Paul Casey strongly.
Yeah, and his group, where's he? So he would play that group of death with Tyrrell Hatton, Matt Wallace, Lee West, and Sergio Garcia. If he gets through, he would play against whoever wins that group. He's got Webb Simpson, Taylor Gooch, and Mackenzie Hughes. Like, I back him to get through that group.
I am now regretting not having Paul Casey. I'm not going to lie. After looking at that group, because even Webb, we've spoken about how strong kind of Webb's game is just consistently, but you know, match play we don't really know, and I kind of would back Casey there. Actually,
I think it's a Webb Simpson golf course. If ever
I don't know. I just back Casey in match play, and Casey's been playing some amazing golf recently, so. I just back Casey to get through that group. He would then play whoever wins the madness that is the Hatton Wallace Westwood Garcia group. so that's fine. I've got no one in that group. So then hopefully he'll get through that and make it through to the final 8. Next up, we've got Jason Day. I mean, loves it here. Winner at least twice in the last 6 years. Has been playing some relatively consistent golf recently and loves a birdie. And basically, that's what I've gone. If they can get birdies, you're going to win holes, right? And that's what I've kind of gone for. So I've gone for players that I think will get a lot of birdies out there and at least push it. Jason Day loves his match play golf. They played in the President's Cup. Was it last year? Year before? Yeah. And his group, Jason Day, where's he? He's got Xander, Andy Sullivan and Scottie Scheffler. I mean, Xander's the worry, sure. But I reckon he can get through that group.
I went the opposite. I had Jason Day in my team because he won a couple of years ago, and I saw the group and was like, nope, not having it.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. Okay, why? What was your fear around that group?
I like Scheffler, like his game, and then you got Xander as well. I don't know. Xander's been too quiet for too long for me, and I just kind of feel like he's going to pop his head up and start playing, and he has to sooner or later with the Masters in a couple of weeks' time.
Jay Day just never came into my thought process for this week at all.
Really?
Yeah, so I like it. I like him on recent form, and I think he's been fairly steady. And his results, you know, as much as they've not been world-beating, they've been decent. He's been putting some good goals together.
He loves a birdie. A player that can make birdies and that enjoys match play golf, I'm going to back. Then, as I made clear earlier, definitely got Will Zalatoris in the team. Obviously, this is the first time at the event for him. But again, just like he's playing some incredibly consistent golf. Also loves a birdie. But his group was, when he had a tourist, he's got Finau, Fratelli, Kokrak, Zalatoris. So he was a bit of a...
We've all picked a player in that group, which is quite tasty.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm confident about him progressing, but I felt like he was my... In that group, I was like, I feel like he could. Like he's the one player in that range of price point. I was like, I feel like he could get through, and I basically picked him for that reason, if that makes a bit like your second place position, Tim, concept. And also, can someone please tell PGA Tour and DraftKings to give Will Zalatoris a picture? I've got this I've got this thing about not picking players who don't have a picture, and he still hasn't got a picture on his profile. And clearly, he's been in this long enough that he should have a picture. And then I started running out of money, so I got next up is for $7,700 Abraham Anser. Playing some really consistent golf, loves match play, was ballsy enough to say that he was looking forward to playing against Tiger and then got his ass whooped, sure. but clearly enjoys match play environment. And where's his group? Where is he? He is group
13.
Is he group 13?
Yeah. Is it with Hovland, Wiesberger, and Kevin Streelman? So I'd take him over Wiesberger and Streelman. It's just whether he can get through Hovland.
Correct. Yeah, and that's exactly my thought process. And again, I would have picked Hovland, but couldn't afford Hovland at this point. So so that was kind of, again, who's the second person that I reckon can get through? And I haven't got anyone in group four who he would be playing against if he got through. So that was kind of my thought process there. And then finally, my basement pick is Brendan Todd in group 14.
Otherwise known as Brent Todd.
again, a group that I think Harris English will actually win that group. You've got Harris English, Daniel Berger, Eric Van Rooyen, and Brendan Todd. Daniel Berger messing around with an injury at the moment. Eric Van Rooyen just doing his thing, nothing exciting, too exciting. The commentator's thing that will now bloody win it, won't he? And Harris English, I think, will come through that group. But again, it was just a who is my basement pick that might be able to pick up a couple of wins and maybe not get through, but just get some points on the board. And that was my pick for him. So that is my lineup. So we've got John Rahm, Paul Casey, Jason Day, Will Zalatoris, Abraham Anser, and Brendan Todd.
The only duplicate pick between the three of us is me and you with Rahm, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Which is very exciting. There's going to be a lot of golf being watched, making sure that we're playing against each other. So that's awesome.
It should mean by process of elimination, between the three of us, someone should have a very good week and someone is going to have a flipping stinker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that happened last week, sure.
Hey, you're a one-week man. You're a flash in the pan. You're like England playing France in rugby the other week.
Yeah. Do you know the other thing that made me laugh? On DraftKings, you can look on the league. You can look at league performance. Tim, you've been in the money.
Yeah.
I've been in the money. Ben, how much have you won on DraftKings?
Nothing, I don't think.
Nada. So Nada. Even though that you are winning, we haven't actually made it into the money yet. So we need a week for you to get into the money. If we can just wait till me and Tim catch up a bit with you, that would be great. But yeah, so Tim, you've also been in the money once, maybe twice. So that's cool. And anyone listening, if you didn't know that, just go to the league, click on leaderboards, and then you can have a look and see how you rank against everybody else who's playing. Yeah, so that is our teams. I'm excited for this week. WGC Match Play is going to be an awesome event. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add to that before we say see you later to everybody?
All good.
No? Awesome. If you've been watching, guys, make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you leave us a comment. I'll come back through the comments later on and give us a watch. If you're watching it on the Facebook page or the YouTube, please share it as well. We'd love to get more people tuning in, competing with us on the Sunday Red Golf League. Currently at 35 people on the paid one. We'd love to get that up to 40. So if you've missed out a couple of weeks, let me know. And when there's demand to move up to 40, I'll move it up to 40. This week there is another PGA event that's happening. I'm not entering a team into that, but the free one that automatically runs, there is a free league for that. So you've now got three contests this week: paid league for the WGC Match Play, free league for the WGC Match Play, and a free one for the alternative PGA event that's going on. That is everything. So if you've been watching, if you like it, smash that like button, say hi, leave us a comment. If you've been listening on the podcast, leave us a rating and review. If you're still here, that'd be awesome. So thank you very much, and everybody, we'll catch you later.
See you later.